Morning. Today's daf is daf pei. So we got to the last three words in Ayin Tesemet Beis. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah: Dio kdei lichtov. If a person is carrying ink, if it's the amount of ink it takes to write two letters, so then he's chayv hotza. So the Gemara explains Tana, the top of daf pei now. Tana shtei osios b'dio. A person carries ink that's the amount of two letters. That's referring to dio. Rashi dio diavish, dried ink. Shtei osios bekulmus, if it's two letters in a quill, which it's Rashi said it's just liquidy, and shtei osios bekalmaron, which are two letters that are in the inkwell where you dip the kalmos in. So these are different amounts of whatever the oil, dry oil versus rather dry ink versus wet ink, might have different shiurim of what's able to produce two letters. So that's the braisa. The Gemara says, "Bai Rava." Rava says, "Os achas bedio." Let's say you have one letter worth of dry ink, and os achas bekulmus in the kulmus, or os achas bekalmarin in each of these mahu. What's the din? Can you mitzarif these together? And the Gemara says, "Take it." We're not really sure. Now the Rishonim asked the question, why are we concerned here? Actually, we'll get to that question in a second. I'm sorry. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rava hotzi shtei osios, a person carries out ink of two letters worth of ink, uksavin kshu mahalich, and he writes them as he's walking. So the din is he's chayv. So he's chayv for doing so because ksivasan zuhi hanachasam. The din is for hotza, you need akira and halacha and a hanacha. So if a person's walking through, he continues to walk all of Shabbos and never does a hanacha, he's not chayv hotza. But if he does hanacha by writing as he walks, so now he has placed the ink down on the paper, he would be chayv hotza for akira and then a hanacha. It's a hanacha on the ksav. So then the Gemara says, Vama Rava, hotzi os achas uksav. Let's say a person takes out an ink worth of oil, rather ink worth of one letter, and he writes it down. Then goes back, v'chazer hotzi os achas uksav, and then takes out more ink and writes it down. He's pater. Why is he pater? He did them in separate acts. My time on beinna the apke lebasrei. So the moment he was carrying the second letter, the ink of the second letter, chasale shiru the kamaisa, he was missing the letter from the ink from the first one. It was already placed down. You need to have the akira at the same time. So Rashi explains here chaser shir the kamaisa kishemisyavisha nechsha shir v'lichi gamra hotza the beinna letzufa. When you complete, you need to have the hotza to be completed. There v'ein kan shir beis osis. You don't have the shir beis osios, that first letter is lost already. So there is a interesting discussion. The Primer Gadim asks the question, is this true only of hotza, or is this true of all other melachas? In other words, when it comes to akir and hanacha, maybe only by hotza, if you place the item and do half the melacha and it's lost, so if you do the second half of the melacha, you don't get the violation because both melachas, both shirim are not present. Hotzah is a melacha grua, and since it's a melacha grua, you need the whole shir to be present at the same time. When it comes to another melacha, maybe if you do half of it and then it gets lost and you do the other half of the shir, you would be chai by the melachas. That's the suffix of the pre-Megadim. The Be'er Lach actually says with respect to the Melach of Lush, he thinks a person needs half the amount of dough and it gets lost, and then needs the other half, he actually would be chayv. You don't need this requirement when it comes to Lush, and seemingly not by other Melachas either. This seems to be only a Melacha by din by Hotza, because again, Hotza is a Melacha Gura, which we have said in the past, the beginning of the Masechta, it's a low level, it's a weaker type of Melacha, and therefore there are certain things that are required in order for the person to violate the particular melacha. The Gemara now says further, V'amar Rava, Rava says, Hotzi chatzi grogeres achas, v'nicha, person takes out a half a grogeres, lays it down, V'chazer hotzi chatzi grogeres achas, v'nicha, then takes another half a grogeres and places it down, the Rishona nasa kemisha kolota kelev, we view the first half a grogeres as if a dog has eaten it, oshinisra, or was burnt, upater, because again, when it comes to at least a melacha of itzav, you have to do the maisa all together. Shir must be completely present at the same time. But once you place it down, that action is done, it's lost, and it's not mitzarif to the first or the second half of the shir. Vamai, why? Hamancha, it's right there, it's in front of you. It's present. So the Gemara says, Hachikamar. Vim kadam vigbia rishona. If a person goes up, and if he went and picked up the first chatzi grogeres, kodam hanachas shnia, before placing down the second one, that's nas, that's rishona, commission nikla oshinisra opat. It's where he undid the hanach of that first half of shir. But if he left the half of grogeres there and then placed the second half of a grogeres, he enachnami would be chai because the hanach of both of them are there present. Only when he puts the first one down and then picks it up and then brings the second half to place it down, it doesn't have its other half to be chayv on the hanacha. Rabbi Rava says a further halacha, hotzi chatzi grogeris v'nich, a person takes a half of a grogeris. He plays it down. And v'chazer v'hotzi chatzi grogeris, another one. The vir dech aleha, and he passes over the first one, chayv, he's chayv for doing so, even though he never actually placed it down. So Gemara says, that's strange. So again, I have a half a grogeris A, we'll call it A, on the ground. I place it down on Shabbos. Then I have B, and I pass over A. I'm chayv, even though I never placed B down. Simply by passing over it, you'd be chayv? V'amai asks Gemara, halo nach, we never did a hanach on the second half grogeris. So Gemara says, kevin shehavira toch shlosha. It's an instant where he passed over the portion within three tvachim of the first one, and we have a din, whenever you're within three tvachim of the ground, it's as if it's on the ground, similar to being the ground, and therefore it's considered as if there is a nacha, and that's why one would be chayiv. So the Gemara says, "V'hamar Rava doesn't Rava say toch shlosha the rabbanon tzarich hanacha gabi mashu." Even the rabbanon who say that you're within three tvachim of the ground, it's not like a hanacha. The rabbanon require you to actually place it down on the ground. So this doesn't make sense according to the shita of Rava. Gemara says, "No, lo kasha kan bezorik." Kan b'maver, depends what we're talking about. If it comes to throwing zorik, so then when it comes to zorik, it has to actually be a hanach, has to be on the ground. When it comes to maver, passing through, it's sufficient to be within the three tfachim of the ground. So our case is where half a grogeris is on the ground, right, that you placed, and then you're carrying the other half, and you're carrying it, passing it through, and it's within three tfachim of the ground, so then a person would be chayv. Umar now quotes a brayse, Tanya Rabbanan hotzi chatzi grogeris. A person takes a half a shear, all in one helem, even though they're done in separate acts, but it's all one helem, we're mitzayif the shear, and you're chayif. But b'shtei halamos, if they're two separate halamos, he forgets during the first chatzi grogeris, remembers about Shabbos, and then forgets for the second one, that shtei halamos, that yediyah in between the two halamos, is a mafzik between the shear, and you're not chayif, woman be pot. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Behelam Echad, Lishus Echad, Chayiv, Lishtei Rishios, Pater. This idea of Helam Echad is only true if it's all in the same Rishus. But if it's taking place in two Rishus, so just like a Yediyah, an awareness in between would be Mafsik, the two acts, so to a Rishus would be Mafsik between the two different acts. So it has to be, as Rashi says, Lishtei Rishios, if it's Shein Rishus Rab, both of my Rishus Rab we're talking about, Elashiesh, Hefsek Beinem, but it's a Hefsek. So if there's two Rishus Rabim, and there's a Hefsek of whatever's in between a Rishus Yachad or a Carmelis or something, since they were placed in two different Rishios, that, and even though it's one Helam, that, according to Rabbi Yossi, would separate the Shirim and would be Potter. So Amar Rabba, Rabba said, V'hu she'esh chiv chatas beinem. It's only true when there's a chiv chatas in between of a Carmelis low. But it can't be broken up by a karmelis. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, he clarifies, even though it appears from the Brayse, it doesn't make a difference what's in between the two Rishios, Rabbi says, no, it does make a difference. Says Rashi, V'hu she'esh chiv chatas b'nem, she'mufsakas b'rishios ha'yachas. It's only true, this din, this chilek of the she'esh Rishios of Rabbi Yossi is only true if it's being mafsik by rishios ha'yachad in between each. Aval im haya karmelis mafsikin, if there's a karmelis that's separated between the two Rishus Rabbims, could go in Karpef, Yosem, Yibes, Sasaim, Obiko, Bezbatim, Psuchim, Echad, Rishus Rabbim, Zev, Echad, Zev, different dinim of Karmelis, Hotzi, Chatzi, Gogeris, Mibais, Zel, Rishus, Zev, Vechatzi, Gogeris, Mibais, Zel, Rishus, Zev, Shehi, Psucha, Lo, Chayiv, Dechem, Nilo, Mafsik, Lei, Rishus, Yochid, Chada, Rishus, Hu. In other words, if Karmelis is in between two Rishus Rabbims, we view the two Rishus Rabbims as absorbing, swallowing up the Karmelis as if it's all one, and therefore there's no Hefsek. But if Rishus HaYachad is in between, that's clearly delineated as a separate Rishus that is Mafsik, and since it's Shtei Rishus that he left the half of Gogeris, he in fact would be Pater. So the Gemara then says again, Amar Rava, one more time, V'hushi Yesh Achiv Echatis B'nei, of a Karmelis low. Abai Amar says, no, afilu karmelis, even if it's interrupted by a karmelis, that would be sufficient to break up the shev shuos and would exempt him from a chiv chatas. About pisla, lo. If there's a pisla in between, that would not be a hefsek. What's a pisla? Rashi says, pisla is an eight shochev l'rachvo shirishis rabim. It's a piece of wood. Umemalako rachvo, it separates the entire width of the rishis rabim. Voti chatzi gogeris mi beso mikan, v'chatzi gogeris mikan. So it's a type of, again, a beam of some sort that's interrupting, that will not break up. You need a halachic category halachic rishus to break it up, whether it be rishus or yachid or karmelis, but just the piece of wood, although it might be a very large piece of wood, that does not break it up according to Abaye. And it comes on Rav Amar afilu pisa. He even thinks a piece of wood would be considered a separation between the two half of gogarises, according to Rabbi Yosi. How do we pass the Rava l'tame? Rava goes according to his reasoning. Dami Rava, Rava says, Rishis Shabbos, Rishis Gittin, Dami. Whatever din of Rishis or Shabbos is like Rishis Gittin, and therefore it all serves the same. What does that mean? So Rashi refers to a sugi here that Rishis Gittin, Dami, Ulinin Gittin, Pisla, Rishis Lenafshe. When it comes to a piece of wood that is considered its own domain, Kidaminim Behazarik, the Gemara, Gittin, Daf Ein, Zain, Mebez, Rashi quotes, Hahu Gavr, the Zark, Gittel, the Veseo. A man threw a get to his wife, the chatzero in his chatzer, in gander gita v'nafla b'pisa, fell on a piece of wood. V'oki hasam shehishila makom b'chatzero chad makom moshi inchi, trey makom is la moshi inchi. Talks about when a person lends out an area in his property, he only rents out one area, not two properties. Either way, pisa is viewed as a separate domain from the chatzer. So even though he may have lent out his chatzer to his wife, and that's considered the wife's rishus. So if it falls in the chatzer that she's borrowing, it would be a get. If it falls on the piece of wood, it would not be a get because he didn't lend her the wood. The wood is a separate domain from the chatzer. So just like by gittin, a pisla is a separate domain, says Rava by Hilchos Shabbos as well, it's a separate domain and can separate, be mafsik between shei rishus harabims according to the shita Rabbi Yosi. Gemara now says further, still going on this discussion about various amounts, various items, how much does one have to carry to violate Chotza? So the Gemara says, Kechol, when it comes to some type of eyeshadow, Kidei Likol Ainachas, enough of eyeshadow to cover, to put makeup on one eye. So Ainachas, one eye, Halo Kachli. No one does that. No one does like eyeshadow or whatever they put on, mascara on one eye. They put on both eyes. So why would one eye, what would that be good? It has to be something that's usable that people would actually do. So Amar Rav Huna Shekein Tznuos Kolchos Einachas. Apparently, the modest woman would only show one eye and only paint one eye, and therefore it would be significant for the Tznuos. Rashi explains here around 10 lines up from the bottom. Tznuos Sheholchos Mutafos. They walk around wrapped up. Vein Megalos El Einach. They only let one eye kind of peek through the roast to see Kolchos. Also, in that particular eye that they show, that would have makeup, some eyeshadow, mascara on it, so it would be actually something people would use. So the Gemara then says that Meisive asks the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Kichol im lirfu, if the purpose is for medicinal purposes, kidei likol einachas, then one would do this for one eye. Because if one eye needs some type of whatever treatment, so you put it on the eye that needs it. Vim lakashit, if it's to dress up, to put makeup on, b'she'enayin, then the woman puts both eyes. So we see clearly that when it comes to makeup, that two eyes is what people do. So Gemara says, Targum Ahilo Braid, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Kitanyahi, when that's talking about Bironios, people of the cities or villages, actually. So Rashi explains, Bironios are Benos Kfarim, people, women of the village. Einam Tzichos Tznios Kokach. They don't need to have so much tznius where they live. Shane's Chok Vakalas Rosh Matzah Sham, because people are not as playful and lightheadedness. They're much more Gedarim, the social distancing, if you will, is more prevalent there, and therefore they don't need to cover up as much. Vima Muatim, the people around is less, it's not a dense city, it's not like New York City. Veinim Echasim Panem, Vekochos Shneanayim, so they don't wear these covering the whole face. You go to New York City where it's dense and there are the men around and it's preachers, so they need to cover up. But you go to the village where it's much quieter, not as much activity, so then they don't cover the face and they would put makeup on both eyes. So it depends where we're referring to. So the Gemara then says, Shava, when it comes to wax, another thing listed in the Mishnah. Shava, kidei liton al pi nekev, katan, to place on a small opening of some sort. So Tana, kidei liton al pi nekev, katan, shayayin, when it comes to trying to plug up a hole in a bottle of wine or perhaps a barrel of wine, you'd use some wax to tighten the hole, to seal it, and that would be the shear that we're describing. So the Gemara then says, Devek, kidei liton barosh ha-shafshaf, when it comes to glue, the amount it takes to put on the top of some type of headboard. So Gemara says Tana Kedei Litan Barosh Shavshav, like the Mishnah, and Shebarosh Kana Shatayadim, that was at the head of the reed that the hunters would use. Hunters would use some type of reed to catch things. I don't know if they wear it or were as dress up or as part of the actual mechanism of catching, but it would be something they put on the top, this glue on top of it, and that's the shear that we're describing here. The Gemara then says Zephes Vegafres Kedei Lasos, when it came to sulfur, or it come to some type of tar, so the din would be to close up a hole, to seal a hole up in the roof. So Tanik de Lasas Nekev Katan, to close up a small hole. charesis, because it lasts pikur, it comes to some type of crush, brick or cement, enough to cover up the opening of some type of oven. So the Gemara says, lemeimer, is this to say the shiura, we have to mention the Rabbi Huda sheet in the Mishnah, so Rabbi Huda says, enough to make a tripod, which seems larger than simply closing up, or making a hole, or making a mouth rather. So the Gemara says, lemeimer, the shiura, the Rabbi Huda nafish, this to suggest Rabbi Huda's shiura is a larger shiur than that of the Tanakhama. Then again, Rabbi Huda says, enough to create a tripod, while the Tanakhama says, enough to make the hole of the oven. So how kaimel on the shear the Rabbanan offish? We have a tradition that Rabbanan's shear is larger than that of Yehuda. The Tanan, the Mishnah, says that Yehuda omer kedei litol heimanu midas minal lekatan, that when it comes to enough shear to make a certain type of a rope to make a shoelace. The amount to make a shoe, a small shoe, and the Rabbanan have a larger shear. They say to make an amount of rope to make a sifter of some sort. So Eimel Gemara says kedei laser de. Pit put, kira katana. When it meant Rabbi Huda, it was enough of a shear of this crushed brick to fill in the cracks of the tripod, not to make the tripod itself to fill in the cracks. In which case, Rabbi Huda comes out with a smaller shear than Rabbanim. Gemara then quotes Subin kedei litam ba ka'apikur shel tzurfei zava. When it comes to bran, enough to place on the mouth of the gold miners would use. So the Gemara says in the very top of Pehama Bey is now Tanur Rabbanan. The Brisa says further, Hamotzi say a person who carries hair, kedei legaba bos hatit, that is used to knead clay. A tit lasos pi kur shel tzorfei zav, and when it comes to clay, the amount to use to make an opening for this type of oven for the gold refiners. And the Gemara then quotes further, sid kedei lasod, when it comes to lime, enough to smear on young girls. So Tana the Brisa says, kedei lasod etzba ketana shebebanos, to smear on just the small pinky finger of a young girl. So Amar of Yehuda Merab, benos yisal shegiul apirkan, when young girls, benos yisal, would get to the age of maturity, of puberty, vlogia lashanim, so they started developing physical features, but didn't reach the actual age of it, so they started growing hair before it was the time. Benos aniyim tofos osam besid, so the women, for the poor families, would remove the hair with sid, with lime. Benos Hashirim, the wealthy families, Tofos Osam Besolos, they would use flour to remove the hair. Benos Melachim, the daughters of the royal families, Tofos Osam B'Shemen Hamor, they'd use oil, Shenemar, Shisha, Chadashim B'Shemen Hamor, from the Pasuk Megillah, that the women had spent 6 months dousing themselves in Shemen Hamor in order to remove any of the hair. So my Shemen Hamor, what is that? Rav Huna Barchia Amar Sitacha, so some type of perfume mixed with different spices. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Shemen Zay Shel Aviyah Shlish, it's referring to olive oil that came from olives that did not reach the third of its growth. And Tani the Brisa says further, Rabbi Yehuda Omer an piknon shemen zayis shilafio shlish. What it's called, the olive oil that has not reached a third of its capacity, is called an piknon. That's what was being described here. So lama sachnosa, why would they put the oil on? So shemeshir esha seyar umadan habasa, because it removes the hair and also makes the skin look very nice and glow. So Rabibi Havale Barta, he had a daughter, and Tafla Eber, and he smeared oil on each limb of hers with this oil, make very nice and colorful. So Shaka Bay Arba Mea Zuze, and he was able to take 400 Zuz for her when he married her off, because that's how pretty she was. So then, there was a certain non-Jew in the same neighborhood, Havale Barta, and he also had a daughter. And he saw Rabbi, what he had done, he wanted to do the same to his daughter, Tafla B'chad Zimna, he did it all in one shot, all the oil in one shot, Umeis, and she died. So Amar Katla Rabibi Labarti, that Rabibi killed my daughter, I did what he did, and my daughter died. So Amar Rav Nachman said, Rabibi Deshasa Shichra. Rabibi, he drinks beer, the house drinks beer, Ba'ina bin Banti Tifla. So his daughter, they require that, because the beer, I don't say, they say beer makes the hair grow, so I don't know, but somehow the beer affected the skin, and maybe the hair. But we don't drink beer. We don't need to put the smearing of the lime, and therefore it depends on the families, depends on what they drink. So the Gemara then says, when it came to the amount of data, this is referring to the amount of lime, enough to cover a kilkel. So my kilkel, what exactly is kilkel? My andifi, what is difi? That Rav Nimchami in the Mishnah had said, andifi, that machlok is referring to the amount of a kilkel, amount of a difi, what are these items? And the Gemara says, Amarav, tzida bas tzida. It's referring to the temple area, and right below the temple, that the lime was used there to remove the hair that was on the temple, right below the temple. The main with the shear, the Rabbi Yehuda Nafesh, does this imply Rabbi Yehuda's shear is greater, larger than that of Rabbi Nechemiah? Hakaimlan, this shear, the Rabbanan Nafesh, we have the understanding that Rabbanan Shita was larger than that of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Zutim with the Rabbanan Nafesh with Rabbi Nechemiah. No, it's smaller than the Rabbanan, but larger than Rabbi Nechemiah. There are three Shitas here. There's Rabbanan, who's the largest, then there's Rabbi Yehuda, who's a little bit less, and Rabbi Nechemiah, who's the least of the three. So Meisivet asks the Gemara, Amar Rebbe, near Divrei Rebbe Yehuda, B'chavit, I think that Rebbe Yehuda is correct with regards to, with Chavit, which is a dissolved lime, but Divrei Rebbe Nechemiah, B'beitis, as it went referring to a chunk of lime, referring to the temple and the area below the temple, both people use dissolved lime here. No one uses a lump of lime for the temple area. So Ella Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Amr Rabbi Ami, an difa, referring to a barrel with two spigots. That's what he said. Meaning, when it comes to the amount of a lump of lime, a lump of lime, that's referring to the barrel, not referring to a person's body. So maskler of Khan of Vichyadam Osav and Paros. The person make his money, does he forfeit the money? Yet he seals his barrels with lime? That's expensive. It gets very expensive. And the wine's going to eventually dissolve the lime, and his wine's going to be lost. So why would you use lime to plug your barrels? The wine's going to eventually penetrate through, and you're losing your wine. That doesn't make any sense. So El Amr of Khana Shnosos, that were placed on utensils, different markings, like in a measuring cup. Gitnan Shnosos Hayubahin. Bahin, Akan Lapar, Akan Laila, Akan Lakabas. So they had these in the base of Migdash, you had different kalim, how much to fill up in terms of wine, if it's a hin, if it's for a par, if it's for an aisle, how much one needs to use. So the markings were made of lime, not that they plugged holes with it. So that's when we're referring to Shitas Rabbi Nechemiah. When Rabbi Nechemiah said his shear, a Beitas Hasid, we're referring to a lump of lime, that was referring to what was used on the outside of these glass containers, these kalim. When Rabbi Yehuda said his shear about Sid, he's referring to the dissolved lime, that was referring to remove the hair on the temple, below the temple. So the Gemara then says, Vibar same alternatively, Maya Andifa, what's Andifa? Apusa, referring to the forehead, and apparently the forehead would be an area where you can use lumps of lime as opposed to the temples. Vicha, Ichihadaha, Bar Galil, the Ikli of Babel, a certain person who lived in the Galil up in the northern Eretz Israel, he came to visit Babel, and Amrilei, they said to him, Kum drush lana b'maisa merkava, please teach us about maisa merkava. Amrilei, he says to them, Edris lechu, I'll teach you, k'didarish Rabbi Nechemiah lechavi, like Rabbi Nechemiah taught his chaver. V'nafka arisa min kosel, and then suddenly arisa is some type of a hornet, came out of the wall, and machte bandife, and stung him in the forehead. Umeis, and he died. Amrilei, they said, min dile dale, from his own hand this came. Because he was willing to darshan about the Maaser Merkava in public, and the Gemara in Chagiga tells us a person should not darshan in public these matters, and therefore he got killed. But we see from this, however, Antifi means a padachto, says Rashi, first to the forehead, and so that's what we learn from this Gemara. Gemara then, the new Mishnah tells us as follows, further on these topics, again, certain items with certain shirim, which would be the shir of violating Chutzah, the Mishnah says, Adam when it comes to dirt, Kichosem Hamartufa, in the mount it takes to seal certain packages. And Divi Rabbi Kiva, that's the Shita Rabbi Kiva. Chacham Omer Chacham and say, Bechosem Ha'igros, to seal letters. Just look at Rashi for a second. Martufin, two narrow lines up. Rashi Martufin is stocking certain miklipas, eight certain types of bags or packages made of wood, so wooden boxes, gadol, very large. Shenos and behem prakmati, you transport your merchandise. Bisfinos on boats. The chosim and osim, you seal them off. So the dirt, amount of dirt it takes to cover, to seal off these boxes, that's Shitas Rabbi Kiva. And Chacham say it's an amount to seal a letter, which seems much smaller. Zeva v'chol hadak, when it comes to different types of fertilizer, or very fine sand, k'dei lazabel kelech shakruv, the amount, we saw this quoted in the Gemara already, that the amount it takes to fertilize one stalk of cabbage, divrei Rabbi Kiva, and chachamim omrim, k'dei lazabel kereisha, enough to fertilize a leek. Chol hagas, large pieces of sand, so k'dei litan al melo kaf, so to place on a full troll of lime, a certain amount of lime you place on top of this, and kana a reed k'dei lasas kulmas, to make a pen out of it. V'mhaya ava o merusas, if the reed is very thick or it's broken, so then k'dei lavasha babeta kashu babetim, in order to use enough to catch in fire to cook an egg. Chufa unisuna beilpus, when it's mixed together and placed in a pot. So these are the different shirim. So the Gemara now elaborates on each one. Ad al malo kaf sid. So we said that when a person takes the thick salt, the thick sand rather, and it's amount to fill up the troll of lime, I don't know what that really is, We'll see now, hopefully. Gemara says, Tana, they liten al pikaf shesayadim, that they place it on the spoon of plaster. The plasters would use a certain tool, an instrument, to plaster things. So whatever that the type of spoon is, that's the amount of a large piece of salt, a piece of sand that we're describing here. The Gemara then says, further, man, Tana, who is the one who holds the chol malile lisid, that sand is beneficial for lime? Amar Rav Chisda, Rabbi Yehudahi. The sanya lo yosit odmes beisel besida, elem kein eir bo teven o chol. If a person's going to plaster his house, he should make sure to either use straw or he should use sand that helps the lime. Helps it, I guess, thicken a little bit and stay and dry. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's beneficial. Rabbi Yehuda, teven mutter, and chol aser. He says you're allowed to use straw, but you should not use sand, because it's a very strong plaster. It's perhaps too strong. Either way, you see, Rabbi Huda says it's beneficial. Maybe it's too beneficial for the for using in the house. So the Gemara then says, one second here. Right. So then the Gemara says, Rav Amar Afilu Tamer Rabban. Even the Rabban would hold this way. Kikulu zu to tikuno, that when ruining something is actually beneficial. So even though the fact that the sand is going to ruin how the lime appears, that's considered an improvement because it allows it to be used properly. So just look at Rashi for a second. Rashi five lines up. Kilkulu zehu tikunu deilav demekalkale umashchiro. If it had not ruined it, had not blackened the lime by putting the sand in, Elohaya mishai wouldn't be permitted. Hilkach al karchach. Fine. So I'm not exactly sure how the kilkel serves as a tikkun, but somehow the fact that it darkens it, that serves as it benefits how the sand, how the lime works. I'm not entirely sure. The Gemara then says, "Karna kidei lasus kulmos." If a person takes a reed a size large enough to make a pen, satana kulmos hamagia lekishrei etzbosav. The pen must be long enough where it reaches the person's fingers, the joints, the knuckles of his fingers. And by Rav Ashi, kesher ha'elyon or kesher ha'tachmon, describing when a person's holding a reed, so you know the pen goes back. How long does the pen have to be? So his knuckles, the first knuckles, the second knuckles, the kesher ha'elyon or kesher ha'tachmon. How long? That's a very big difference, how long the pen has to be. And he's holding it between his fingers, let's say his thumb and his index to hold the pen, and it sticks out. How high does it stick up? How high of the knuckles? The Gemara says, we're not sure how far the first knuckle or the second knuckle. If the reed was very thick or broken, whereby you couldn't use it for a pen, so then we say it was a shear that whereby you could use it to cook eggs that was mixed together in a pot. So Tana, the Brisa says, Shufa b'shemen u'nesuna b'ilpus, where it's mixed with some oil and placed in a pot. So Amar le mar brei de ravina le reve, mishmei lach beit akala mahi, did you hear what kind of egg is easily cooked? Amar le, biasa dit tziltzala, a egg of a small yona, a small dove, that's easily cooked. So my time, what's the reason? So mishum dezutra, because it's very small. The smaller it is, the quicker it is to cook. Ema ditziparti. So say it's the egg of a hummingbird. A hummingbird is even smaller. It's the smallest bird. Ishik. So he's quiet. So Amrullah, he says, midishmilach baha. He says, did you hear anything on this matter? Amrullah, hachi, Amr of Sheshi. Rav Sheshi says, betis tarnagolas, of amai, the chicken of a tarnagolas, of a hen. The amai, karile beta kala. So why is that called a beta kala? So Shiari Chacham ain't the beta kala lavasha yosim beta tarnagolam. Chacham have a tradition that's the quickest one. I mean, it's not based on the size. You thought initially it was a size, so you chose a dove. So if it's based on size, I'll choose even a smaller egg, a hummingbird's egg. That's the smallest. So it wasn't based on size. It's based on the tradition that certain types of eggs, depending on whatever chemical makeup they have, allows it to cook quicker. And apparently, the hen egg is the quickest to cook. So Gemara says, Maishna kol shiru Shabbos kigogeres. How come all the other shirum of Otsal and Shabbos is a gogeres? V'hachav kabeita. When it comes to this shir, it's a kabeita. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Amar lei, hachem of Nachman. Nachman says, kigogeres mi beita kala. No, this too is a gogeres. A kigogeres of a beita kala. You have a beita kala, which is a beita of a tarnagolas, and you carry out a size of that, of a gogeres of that beita kala, then a person, in fact, would be chayv. Okay, we will stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue tomorrow morning. Everyone have a wonderful day.